Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together, God, to gather with friends, dear friends, to come before you together, to hear from your word, God, to be nourished, Lord, to heal, to transform, that we may follow you, that we may unite with you, that we might delight in you. God, would you speak your words into our hearts and help us to live as we ought, to be worthy of your calling. In Jesus' name, amen. This is part three of why read the Bible. And normally I would dive right into how to read your Bible. I would spend probably a longer time talking about that. But I feel like this is time well invested. As much as I have probably talked about this, there are probably many of you who are listening and are still probably not convinced that they need to read the Word of God. And there's no shame in admitting that I need help. And there's no shame in admitting that I am not fully convinced. Now, one is convinced when one takes action. So it is not worth it for you to take action. So that means you're not still fully convinced that you need the Word of God. And it's okay for me to speak on this again from another perspective, because the scriptures spend a lot of time trying to convince us that the Word of God is worth our effort and our time. The Word of God is, as we have spoken before in the past, couple of sermons, is a mystery. It is unimaginably powerful. And it is what created the universe. Scripture says in Hebrews 1:3 that he upholds the universe by the word of his power. So from a scientific standpoint, matter that you see all around you, scientifically, it could be reduced. E equals MC squared. Energy equals matter. So what is matter? Well, it's a bunch of atoms. But it's mostly, you are mostly empty space. I was actually watching a TED Talk once, and it was talking about how we even lose weight. And they said, we lose, because it's all through carbon dioxide. That's how we lose it. We breathe that out, you know? And I was like, it wasn't obvious to me, right? And so the more we lose weight, the more carbon dioxide we breathe out. It was just kind of fascinating, just that simple concept. But here's what scripture is saying. So matter equals energy, and energy equals the word of God. That's pretty simple. But what is energy? Well, it's electrons and things like, what is electrons? What is it made of? When you get down to it, it's the word of God. That's what the Bible says. But what is the word of God? Well, they're not letters. See, Bible is a book and it's full of letters. But it's also full of stories. There's a narrative. And what I want to try to convince from the Word of God, and may the Spirit convince you, that it is the essence of life. Here's what the Word of God is saying. We are well or we are not well. We are sick or we are healthy, depending on the words. Words that are energy, the words that carry power, depending on the words that you hold in your mind, will depend on your health or your sickness. What scripture is saying is that most of us learn to live with chronic illness, chronic anxiety, chronic envy, chronic bitterness, chronic this, chronic that, chronic selfishness. We live with a illness, a sickness. self-centeredness, sexual immorality. We live with this, and we've come to, in a sense, be okay with it. And scripture is saying, no, it's because it's the way we think about it. We try to, you know, not to think about it sometimes that way, isn't it? We say, oh, you know, we try to think better, but it gets the best of us. There's like, words have a force, doesn't it? Somebody says something mean to you. You don't want to lash out. You don't, you know, you want to be loving sometimes. But, you know, you just, the words are so, there's this force. It's called darkness. It's called sin. It's a powerful force. What is it? Those are force of words. Words. And you can't even contain them. You think you're in control, but you're not. I'm not. So the Word of God. And when we say Word of God, I'm not talking about the letters of the Bible. I'm talking about the Word of God, right? We just sang praise songs. Contained in them are the words of God. And I think, you know, we were talking about this at home group. Some of these songs you would never listen to by yourself in the car. But you come here in a posture of humility and worship and need, and you cry out to God. And to be honest, the older the song is, sometimes the more powerful they are. And they come, and because in my car, in individual listening, I like new songs. I like fresh new songs that I enjoy. And they have a shelf life about a couple of days, because I'll listen to the living daylights out of it, right? I love it, but praise songs aren't that way. We sing the same old songs. Now, if you think that singing same old songs the way you listen to songs in the car are going to help you, they're not. They're not for your easy listening. They're not for your enjoyment in that way. They're meant to carry with it the power of God to bring healing, comfort in your times of distress, right? Pain. They're meant to be powerful, surgical. So you come and you experience it. And many of you have said, yes, yes, that's true. These tired old songs have sometimes the most power. The same thing with the Word of God. See, words are not just words, right? It says, it's not what goes in the mouth, it's what comes out that corrupts you. The point is, the words that we hold, when we say stuff that sometimes come out of us, or thoughts that come arising into our mind, it's inside of us. And the Word of God has to come in, drive it out. Jesus came as the light, but people love the darkness. What does he think? What do you think he's talking about? He's talking about the words, the appetite. Words. Oh. It drives sickness. It drives people to their death, literally. What do you think stress is? Stress is not toughness, right? There's a difference between how the special forces and the SEAL team experience trauma and just regular people. What do you think they, it's the words, the pictures. Pictures are words. Pictures are electrons, right? It's magical, isn't it? So we want to talk about it. We want to talk about words as a radical diet for maturity. God has a plan for us, and that plan is maturity. Matthew 28, the task for the church is the Great Commission. That's our mission. Mission for ourselves and mission for others. It says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. We read before, To love God is to obey God. What is it to obey God? It's to unite with God. Because the Word of God is God. It's to unite with God. Join Him. To be one with Him. That's what obedience is. And therefore, we can summarize it. That's what love is. To love God with all your mind, heart, mind, and soul is to obey Him with your heart, mind, and soul. So if you have an excuse for not being loving, not being forgiving, driven to selfish ambition, it's hard to unite with God, hard to experience God. It's hard to read the Bible because we're about us. It's so difficult in our generation now, in our times, to be other-centered, isn't it? It's really difficult. We're so busy and preoccupied with us. And maybe even our family, just my children, just this nuclear family. When in reality, that's not God's ambition for us. The family unit is a together us for the Great Commission. But a disciple and maturity is about what? Observing the Great Commandments. That's what Jesus is saying here. And that's maturing. And Paul understands that. Paul gets that maturity and discipleship is one and the same. Let's read Colossians 1:28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we, Paul and his crew, may present everyone mature in Christ. Teleos, right? It's the word for mature. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. What is Paul toiling and striving for? The maturity of the saints. Not just evangelism, but of course, that's part of it. But maturity. What God is after is our maturity. Not when things are going well. Maturity is not about when things are going well. It's when it's not going well. And let's look at that some more. Hebrews 5:12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. We read this. Since he is a child, but solid food is for the mature. So that means, what is that? That's hearing things you don't want to hear. That's somebody telling you or the word of God telling you, maybe you ought not to be doing that. Maybe it's like when you've given up hope, right? To stop your lustful habits. Maybe it's like saying, it's radical. The word of God is radical. Sometimes, sometimes it jolts me to think, oh my gosh, maybe I got to start, opening up the house a little bit more. Like, radical. Or maybe I need to, start getting with these, maybe I need to, shut down social media. Maybe I need to do this. It just feels so it's not worth that. The reason why we don't take the step, why the Bible seems so empty, is because we have no appetite for maturity. Because you start reading the Bible and the stories of the Bible is trying to convince you that the characters of the Bible are you. And the stories of the Bible are you. Sometimes I read, in the Old Testament, how could these people, right? They're so thick-headed. It's you. It's me. Here it is. For those, but solid for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. When you encounter a difficult situation, when you are in a tough spot, the enemy just is right here. It's just waiting to pounce on a difficult situation, for your employer to say some things that just irks you, or someone just took you for granted. It's just waiting in the wings, letting you do your praises and doing all that kind of stuff. I love God. I love Jesus. And just waiting. Okay. I got you. Just waiting around. Right? And then maybe you open up a Facebook post and you see all your friends going on nice vacations. And then it'll just like pound you with words. Judgmentalism. Bitterness. And you got all the reasons why you don't have to forgive. Or maybe you say, oh, I forgave him. You didn't forgive him because you think about that incident constantly. The things that somebody said to you, you keep on thinking about it. But the Word of God doesn't have a space there yet. Maybe a week from now, you know, when things have gotten together, maybe you'll think about it. But here's this is mature. Solid food is for the mature. That means those tough words. Hey, you know, hey, Henry, I think you're gossiping too much. Who wants to hear that? Well, maybe that's solid food, though, isn't it? That's solid food. And maybe the Word of God has something to say about that. Maybe you ought to stop. Maybe you ought to not cheat. You know? Maybe you ought not to steal. That's solid food. Solid food is, you know, how do you know you have an appetite for solid food? You're in growth group. You're talking about these things. You're outing yourself, saying, hey, look, I want solid food. And you read the Word of God very differently when you want solid food. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brothers, do not be children in your what? Thinking. Be infants in evil, but your thinking be mature. Maturity is not about getting older. Age does not mature you. When you're thinking, trained in difficult times, trained in pain and turmoil, trained in your thinking, when you are pushing back at those words that say, oh, go get a man. When you're coming against those words, when you're in a fight and you don't fight fair, and because somebody just ticked you off, somebody said some hurtful things, also you're going to now counter with some, okay, gloves are off. If you're a gloves off kind of person, I used to be a gloves off person, right? The Bible's saying you don't want to be mature. Because right then, that is a time for solid food. Now, sometimes those situations get the best of us. But you know what? You got to double back. You got to double back. Because if you don't double back, you're going to live in envy. You're going to live in bitterness. You're going to compare yourself. Okay? You're going to love your spouse less. You know? You're sick. Because you didn't double back. And sometimes you have to double back to your childhood. And that's okay. Because the way you think in a God who is turning all things towards the good, who loves you, yet when you think about your childhood, oh, you feel like God was negligent. Again, we got to double back. You got to think the way God wants you to think. You got to think truthfully. My parents, right? I missed out because my parents are not like other parents. Really? Look, God turns all things towards the good of those who love him. You gotta double back. And if it's in the back of your mind, bring it out to the forefront. You gotta talk about it. Talk about it with God. Talk about it with others and allow people to share in your burdens. That's a command. But we have to be mature in our thinking. That means the Word of God has to shape the way we think. Think about our family members. Think about our friends. Think about our employers. Think about our teachers. We have to be mature in the way. We can't just be flagrant and fearless and think any way we want to. We don't fear God. We don't fear the Word of God. Same thing. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. Now notice, we are uniting. The unity, the oneness comes when we are driving towards eating solid food to be mature. If we have a tough time caring for people, like if you only give milk, right, to your growth group members, for instance, that's not love. Maturity requires eating solid food. The reason why we have a problem reading the Bible, because we have a problem wanting to be mature. We want to think the way we want to think. We're not humble before the Word of God. You don't just study the Word of God. The Word of God has to study you. To mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. See, when we are not wanting solid food, words will come and try to get you. You don't need that. Oh, you know, it's okay. Like, you know, issues of sexual immorality. No, that's okay. We can even ordain people like that. Look, we cannot be tossed to and fro. The truth is the truth. The truth is the truth. And you have to say, you know what? When I get into a fight, all I see is the log in somebody else's eye. You know what maturity is? Seeing the log in your own eye. Or if at least it's saying, I got logs in my eye. We don't want to be tossed to and fro. Every time something happens, we get into a frenzy. It doesn't mean that we don't hurt. When hard words are said to us and people are mean, when people take us for granted, it hurts. It hurts. And that's why the invitation from Christ, come and yoke with me. Yoke with me. Cast your cares upon me. That's why we turn to each other, so that we may carry one another's burdens. But we want to play by our own rules, you see? No, you have to compete according to the rules, the Bible says. Tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love. We're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. We have to start serving up solid food, folks. Solid food. But see, we got to want solid food for ourselves. We got to. We, that's what we want when we read the Bible. We're looking for solid food. We're looking for things that'll help us to mature. Then the Word of God is going to stop popping. I remember when I was in college, I was in the National Guard. It was my summer AT annual training. And, I was just coming, being reintroduced since my middle school to Christ. And there was this tape somebody lent me. It was called Fire and Ice by, I think, Steve Camp. And I popped it in. I was laying in my bed and was talking about fire and ice. And I started getting convicted. I could just feel it in my heart. It was just like the Word of God was like doing surgery. It was nourishing me, but it was also kind of like, it was just an odd sensation. I loved it, yet I hated it. But you know what? I welcomed it. I returned that fall and I broke up with my non-Christian girlfriend. You know? But my point is, there is a way, there is a humble posture coming before the Word of God, because when we open up Scripture, we're opening up, right, access to the living God. Isaiah 7:9 says this, if you're not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. You know what faith is about? Taking that step. See, you have to say, you know what? I want to be mature. Because you know what? There's your life, your entire life is about being mature. It's not about getting old, acquiring things, having just experiences. God's main goal is maturity. The Great Commission is about maturity. The Word of God is given to us for our maturity. But when we don't want, we're hesitant to take steps based on the Word of God. When we are humbly posturing before God and we say, God, speak to me. Because God is driving you to be radical. Because God is radical, and it will feel radical to start reading your Bible like this. Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun, his sun, rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, teleos, same word as mature. You must be mature. It's a command. It's a command. To be mature is a command. That is the very notion of perfection. See, here's why. See, God is perfect. That means God is mature. And his ambition for his children is that we are mature. That means in the moments of your difficulty, in the moments of your pain, in the moments of your temptation, that you would have the faith to lean into the Word of God, to receive its power. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, right? God is mature. He is. Jesus came and proved that he is mature. That means in the most difficult of circumstances, Jesus leaned into the Word of God. Health is a discipline. Health is a discipline. The toughest thing about being healthy is my appetite for the unhealthy. Thomas Edison said this, the doctor of the future will no longer treat the human frame with drugs, but rather will cure and prevent disease with nutrition. And I was just at lunch with Jesse, you know, and just giving testimony to how a couple of his relatives were healed from cancer just through nutrition, diet change. It's so difficult though, isn't it? Same thing with the Word of God. It's what we hold and what we are committed to in the moments that it matters. It's there. See, we don't know that we have a different mindset until the moments come. And when whatever gets unleashed in those moments of difficulty are the words that we are holding, and it's making us sick. And thank God when the moments of difficulty come and it's unleashed, it's an opportunity for you to go, oh my gosh, that's what's in there. And it's not okay because it's going to cause chronic illness. Okay, going forward. But you got to say, you know what? I want to be better. I want to get well. Philippians 3:18. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. They're in this destruction. Their God is their belly. It's the appetite. That's the problem, isn't it? Our appetite. I don't feel like it. I like this too much. I don't want accountability because then what? It's your God. Whatever is the justification and whatever is the reason, it's an excuse. It's our unwillingness that's at issue here. And their glory in their shame with mindsets on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. Oh, here we go. Paul is saying, we're not like them. You're not like them. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious. Look, this is the mode of transformation. It's growing in maturity. That's the transformation. Changing from one degree of glory to another is the words of God that come to bear in our most difficult times. That's transformation. Because whatever comes up in those moments are what's already inside of you. And the question is that okay? 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. That's why it requires discipline. You know what discipline is? It's humility, really. Because how many of you, when you want to eat healthy, you have to be disciplined, don't you? It's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. It's because our appetite to think the way we want to think, right? To think any way we want to think, right? In our fighting, in our arguments, right? When you're irked, whatever it might be, at work, at home, requires discipline. But you gotta want it. You gotta want it. Here's the thing. God wants it more than you want it. He's just trying to get you to want it. Matthew 9:12, but when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. You know, the first rule that Jesus has in his healings is, you know what he does? He asks them, do you want to get well? Do you know you're sick? He's not talking about just physical bodies is here, is he? He's talking about the Pharisees. They think they're okay. They think they're good. We got chronic issues. You're not that loving. You're not that generous, you know? You're not that forgiving. And you're unwilling to give up, right? The temptations. And yet you don't want to admit that you're sick. I am sick because I have words. In my head, I have words, right? I don't want to be better. I'm sick, and it's going to continue to cause chronic illness. But Jesus is saying, for those who want to get well, for those who are sick, he's the great physician. Oh, there's help. John 5:3. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and he knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? The question is, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Remember in Isaiah said, right? To be firm, you have to be firm in your faith, right? Luke 17:19, and he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." You go to God. You know, the thing that people, I hear from people most often, why they don't want to get well, why they've given up in getting well, is because it doesn't work. They've lost hope. They lost the drive, right, for holiness. They've lost the drive, right, for the Word of God. They've lost any appetite for that. So they no longer take steps of faith. But you know what? What is the requirement? He says, faith is the pathway for healing. You got to take that step. You got to want to get well, and then you got to be able, right? When Jesus writes you a prescription, you got to go and get the medicine. When Jesus writes you a prescription through the Word of God, you got to go and do that. It's in doing that. That's faith. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I'll be found by you, declares the Lord. You know, I grew up, I was all messed up, right? Broken home, I mean, well, dysfunctional. Just a lot of trauma from when I was a kid. And it wasn't until like I graduated from, it was in college my senior year that summer after I graduated. I was still in school and I read a book called Inside Out. Blew my mind. Like it was like understanding what I was going through. And then I took a little break, you know, to get back into the world. I was really worldly. And then I was, you know, I was at flight school and I just looked to distraction, right? I had my own way to cope with my pain. And for me, it was TV, hanging out with my friends, but especially when I was by myself. I remember borrowing a whole bunch of movies, stacks of movies, right? And on one Saturday, I popped one in, and when I popped the last one out, I started watching it in the morning when I woke up, and it was already pitch dark outside. And I realized, I have a problem. I'm going to waste away, right? I was just in my 20s. I'm going to waste away in front of that TV like I have been all my life. I was a latchkey kid, so, you know, TV was a natural place. So I threw out the TV. You know, back then, you know, the VCR and the TV were like one combo. You know, I thought I was pretty slick with that. But anyway, but I threw it out, chucked it, and I started reading. A lot of Christian counseling books, a lot of self-help, a lot of, hey, I need help here. I need help. I want to bring what's in here to the forefront so that God may deal with it. You know what? He did. He started dealing with me. And then a friend, later on, you know, a friend was sharing with me, I roomed with a friend who, you know, I went to college with. He said, you know, back in college, Henry, I couldn't hang out with you because you get hurt so easily. I didn't know it showed to other people, you know? I get bent out of shape easily. I would get hurt easily. I just needed healing, but I needed to think rightly about God, what He was doing in my life, you know, that my experiences weren't meaningless, and that God is still for me, that He is faithful and steadfast and perfect in all His ways. I needed to hear that. And at that time, the only place I could go was books. Deuteronomy 8:2. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. That He might what? Humble you. Bring you to your knees and say, I need you. I need you. Because, you see, in their captivity, the Israelites, in their captivity in Egypt, they weren't necessarily turning to God. Oh, but things are going well. And then God throws them into the wilderness after the rescue. And you would think, oh my gosh. Here's what's more important to God than the Israelites, His people, having a good old time. Helping the Israelites fulfill their dreams. What's more important than that? What's more important than they get to the promised land as quick as possible so they could live their dream? What's more important? Why the wilderness? That He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart. What were the words? What were the words that will be coming out when you encounter difficulty? God knows what they are, but He wants you to know what they are. Whether you would keep His commandments or not. Wow. You know what was in their heart? Bag this. At least in Egypt, I had meat. Fair weather friends, aren't they? They're good with His commandments. When God, when in the easy times, being loving, being forgiving, following God. In the easy times, whoo, you know, love to come here, sing the fast songs, right? You know why we sing the slower songs? Because we don't know how to play the fast songs. No, just kidding. No, because we assume that you're in the crucible and that you come because you're sorrowful. And you want to encounter the living word afresh, a balm for your soul. And He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man does what? Not live by bread alone. You know what He's saying? He's saying, look, He fed you with manna so that you might not turn to social media. That you might, He blocked Wi-Fi in the house. That's what He's saying. So that you might not distract yourself. That you might not so be easily satisfied. That you might not work towards distraction. That He might make you know that man does not live by Wi-Fi, bread, right? All these tasty restaurants, entertainment. But man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Look, we got to get there. And here's what I'm saying to you. That's where God is trying to get you. So, I'm sure you've been in your wilderness. Don't despise the wilderness. And it's okay. There's no shame in admitting, look, I need to be humbled. Why do you think God humbled them? Because in order to receive the word of God, you got to be humbled. That we may discover. When we discover the delight of the Word of God during these times, you're discovering God. Psalm 119:14, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. Now, do you understand that this is a psalmist that isn't discovering this in their good old time? Oh, the Bible is so entertaining. I love the stories. That's milk. Your children are learning that, and that's okay. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Oh, that's loyalty. That's love. to tell God, I will not forget your words. I delight in your words. You're loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul. There's no greater worship than to delight in the Word of God for you in your most difficult times. There's no greater glory than that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, as we come before you to seek your face and to cry out, to say, Lord, thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you, God, for your word. May it be bread. May it, Lord, be nutrients. And may our appetites be filled to the brim, that we may delight in your word, thus delighting in you. God, be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.